The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Hey, welcome back. It is Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday, with our friends at Bob Jones Seminary down in beautiful Greenville, South Carolina. Okay, so I'm just reading from this. I'll put a link up for everybody. And today's conversation is going to be relative to all of us, relative to where you're at in a couple of different ways, okay? So for me and my family right now, without I'm not going to give you much, but I'll definitely say we're definitely in trial territory right now. So we've got that going on. So James is testing our faith as we read through this book. So in today's blog posts from the Seminary Viewpoints at the Seminary, Bob Jones, Approaching Wealth and Poverty, the True Test of Faith. So just listen up for a second. And we'll set up the course of our conversation, and we'll talk to Dr. Sam Horn, who you should be getting used to Sam's voice and his name, because he's going to be on once a month because he's that good. And it's such a blessing, and we're just really enjoying this. So here we go. So he was talking about in his latest blog, talking about James focusing on the need to restore living faith. So as James begins his teaching on living faith, this is James 1, he confronts the true condition of our faith, and then he comforts us by helping us to see the value and blessing trials bring when they come. And we're like, oh, boy, I'd rather go without trials. Well, if you try to do this without trials, that's got a problem in and of itself. We'll get there. If we are willing to listen and accept the wisdom that James is giving us, we discover that nothing builds faith better and stronger than the multifaceted work that God does in us through the tool of a difficult ongoing trial, meaning that is soil that can't be reproduced any other way. There's the soil of trials, and then there's all the other kinds of soil. But the soil of trial is unique, and that's the particular soil that God does a particular work in, and you can't transfer to the good soil and get the same product. You can't. It doesn't work that way. So there's that aspect, okay? We're used to that and reading that in James 1. Then he goes on to this, which is really interesting. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation and the rich in his humiliation. Okay, now we're getting into your pocketbook. Now this is going to start to get a little closer to home because the average price of gas now across the country is $4.30 a gallon. That's the average. Diesel's gone up by about $1.20 in the last week. I've got a good friend I was talking to this morning. Her husband is a trucker. Other people, the students, I have 106 students I teach every week, and they're starting to talk about the money that they make at Chick-fil-A or wherever is not really overcoming the fact that their gas prices are now at $4.30. And the money number just came out in terms of the rate of inflation. Now we're up to 7.9, almost 8%. And these things have real impact. So people are going to go, well, if you make a ton of money, you're not really thinking about this stuff, but you've still got some problems. If you don't make much money, and if you're really struggling even more now from a faith standpoint, and James is dealing with this as well, you're going to have some unique challenges as well. So there's kind of trials, and then there's what's going on with the status of our socioeconomic needs. And then we're going to kind of look at the notion of two kingdoms in the book of James. That's big K kingdom. That's God's kingdom. And then there's little K kingdom, kind of our life here in America and the things we deal with in the here and the now. So we got a lot to go through today, and it's really going to be a blessing for all of us. I need this myself, so I'm going to try to listen more than speak, which is a no small miracle. But Dr. Sam Horn, who, of course, is the lead pastor at Palmetto Baptist down in beautiful Greenville, South Carolina area. And then because that's not enough, he teaches at Bob Jones University as well as the seminary itself. In all kinds of ways, just a rich man of God in so many different ways. We appreciate you being here. Sam, how are you?
You know, Steve, I'm doing great. I resonated with a lot of what you said a minute ago when you talked about trials. And I actually agree that we are heading, as Christians, into the territory of trials. Yeah. I mean, if there's a territory called trials, most Christians living in this country are heading into that territory.
Yeah.
And so for me, James is a very, very rich book. Because you're right, there's things that happen in a trial that can't happen any other way. And most of us are facing some pretty major trials. I mean, some of it's health, some of it's the economy. Yeah. You talked about gas prices.
Oh,
I heard a stat a week ago. So in the course of a week in my town, gas has gone up almost 60 cents in 1 week.
Jeez.
So I heard a shocking stat, actually, that this was a week ago now. before all of this, and that was that with the gas increases, you could expect to pay $2,000 a year more
Whoa.
In transportation costs.
Whoa.
And then with the inflation that that's hitting your pocketbook when you go to the grocery store, I just went to the grocery store the other day for my wife, and I was shocked.
Shocked.
And you can expect another $1,500 a year in increased grocery bills. That's $3,500 that a year ago you weren't paying.
Yeah. Yep.
That's going to be an immense amount of pain mm-hmm. and suffering and decision making for the vast majority of the people listening to this show.
That's right. That's real money.
James has a lot to say about that.
Yeah, that's real money. And so where we felt pretty good about things maybe a year ago financially, you were getting by. But now, like the average American, Sam, doesn't have even $1,000 in savings. The average American
Correct.
Family isn't ready for a $1,000 car repair. And what you're talking about, $2,000 here, $1,500 there, $3,500 or $300 a month, that can be make it or break it. And now you're deciding, well, we're not going to eat this or we're not going to eat that. We're going to eat the other thing. Now we're going to have to change. Forget the movie thing. We're not going to go see the Batman or whatever. We can't do these things. And your life starts to get changed. And so there's those challenges you have when things are tight financially. But there's other people we know right now, Sam, and there's people listening to this show, I'm sure, are watching us today that, you know what, that extra $3,500 this year, no big deal. They make
Correct.
$150, $200, $250 or more, $1,000 a year. It's not a big deal for them. But we all kind of face some challenges here. I think that's what James is getting at.
Correct. And I think what you're describing is for the first time in a long time, those of us who live in the greatest country where freedom exists mm-hmm. are finally starting to feel the pinch that the rest of the world has felt for a long time.
Yeah.
The rich are getting richer. And the rest of us are feeling the pinch economically.
Yeah.
And while that's not a massive trial compared to what other people are going through, and I think we need to put that in context, it still is the kind of trial that James is talking about. And so maybe I could set it up this way. When James opens up, there was a little phrase that I never saw. I mean, I've been reading James my whole life.
I'm sure.
Like most of us, right?
Yeah.
And there's this little phrase that I just kept reading over because it's in verse 1. And who reads verse 1? It's like, you know, dear, this is James, dear, and then let's get to the meat.
Right.
But in the second half of verse 1, he writes this, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed. Mm-hmm. And I got thinking about that phrase. The last time the 12 tribes were unified as one nation was during the reign of Solomon.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
The last time the 12 tribes lived together in one geographical land was in 722 BC before the Assyrians came in and wiped out 10 of the 12 tribes and took them all over and dispersed them. And in Jesus' time and in James' day, those tribes had never been regathered.
Man. Yeah. Yeah. So you're in a tough situation already. And then
absolutely. When we come
tougher.
Back, I'll finish that thought.
Yeah, good. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday with our friends at Bob Jones Seminary and Bob Jones University as well today because we're talking to our good friend Dr. Sam Horn, who's the lead pastor at Palmetto Baptist down in the area there in beautiful Greenville, South Carolina, but also teaches consistently and has for years been involved with BJU as well as the seminary. And so he teaches at both levels. And I'll tell you this, Sam, there's so much here in James, and we were talking about it on the break. So for those of you on the radio, if you're like, Steve, you're always saying that. You talk about it on the break. You talk about it, but while we're listening to commercials. Okay, which is awesome. That has to exist. That helps keep radio in existence in the first place. But if you kind of want to know what's going on behind the curtain during a commercial break, well, that's Facebook Live and that's YouTube Live. So just go to the Steve Noble Show in either one of those. Because we have continuing conversations, but I can tell you in the radio audience, I'm never going to rob Peter to pay Paul. The vast majority of the content that we do on any show is going to occur during the regular radio segments. Okay, that's the vast majority of it. But there are little extra things that we talk about, little rabbit trails or whatever that occur. You only get that if you are live on Facebook or YouTube, or if you go on there later and watch it. My frustration is, back in 2016, Sam, when I first went into syndication, for a little while, the syndication company I was with had me fill in for another show and gave me 3 hours a day for 6 weeks.
Wow.
And I finally felt
cool.
Free. I feel like a contained wild Tasmanian devil in an hour because there's so much going on in my head all the time and there's so many different rabbit trails we could go down. But I have to live with the reality of the clock, and the clock always wins. So back in the day when it was 3 hours, I was like, oh, yeah, okay, this is nice. I can go down. We don't have that kind of time here. So if I come across as a little frantic, which I usually do, during an hour show, especially when we're going through something as rich as the Book of James here with Sam, just listen intently. Don't be scrolling through your phone because you need focus here. Because people, my dad used to bark at me all the time, Sam, and say, Steve, slow down. And I'm like, you just need to listen faster, Dad. So we're going to do the best that we can. There's a lot that goes. We're going to throw a lot of stuff at the fridge. I trust the Lord to make stick what he needs to make stick in your life, my life, Sam's life, whatever. Amen. So just bear with us as we go down this. And this is just a regular conversation. Sam and I would be doing the same thing if you, me, and Sam were sitting down in your kitchen right now having a conversation. We do the same thing. So this is just you being a part of it, and we just trust the Lord to bless it. So anyway, Sam, we're kind of talking about these two kingdoms, the big K kingdom, the kingdom of God, and then the little K kingdom that we live in, the United States of America, Ukraine, our economies, those kinds of things, and then the testing of our faith with the response to wealth and poverty. And I think this is really difficult because oftentimes we think trials, it's going to be about my job, or my marriage, or my child, or my health. But wealth and poverty, how does our faith get tested in that?
Yes, so we talked about these two kingdoms, right? Messiah has started. He's inaugurated the big K kingdom, but it hasn't arrived yet. The only thing that's here are the citizens of that kingdom. Mm. And their values, their ethic, their objectives in life are diametrically opposed to the little K kingdoms of the world that are being driven by the ruler or the prince of the power of the air of those kingdoms that we read about in Ephesians 2, who we know as Satan.
Yep.
So we got two diametrically opposed kingdoms, and the citizens of the big K kingdom of God are scattered throughout all the little K kingdoms. Like you said, United States, Ukraine, Russia, we're all there. And in every place we are, we're supposed to be living out the values and the ethic of the big K kingdom in the middle of all these little Ks, so that as we live out the gospel and we do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly, there will be many in those kingdoms that are going, we can't understand you. What in the world is driving you? And then all of a sudden, you start seeing these people being rescued out of those kingdoms and made part of this big, beautiful kingdom that God is one day going to establish physically on the earth when he comes back. And the number one way that he displays a wholehearted, single-focused, fully trusting faith is by displaying it under pressure. Mm-hmm. In other words, when you're in all those little kingdoms and God wants to show the beauty and the validity and the genuineness of your faith, he's going to put you under pressure. And the pressure is a trial. Mm-hmm. It could be a physical trial. It could be an economic trial. It could be a disease that comes into your life. It could be a relational trial. There's all kinds of trials. Now, the Ukraine, believers in Ukraine are going through a massive trial, right? The hostilities that are there are putting their faith on display.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, everybody else who's panicking, who's losing their homes, just like these believers are, who are being bombed, just like these believers are going to look out over the believers and say, why are you singing a hymn? Why are you praising God? Right. Why are you so joyful as you're losing everything? We're not. And all of a sudden, you just saw big kingdom values being displayed to little kingdom people while the big kingdom citizens are under pressure.
Which, and let me bring back up from yesterday. Slavik was the gentleman I was talking to yesterday from Ukraine, live from Ukraine, and runs the seminary there. And now it's a respite for refugees, about 300 a day, and it's climbing. He said, and I wrote it down. I've got the paper right here, right in front of me. See this? Right in front of me. Yesterday, he's talking about the pressure and everything going south. He had the first day that bombs started flying. There was a cruise missile that hit about 10 miles away from the city, which is way over in western Ukraine, not that far from Poland. And he's like, at first I was fearful. I was worried. Am I going to survive? Is my wife going to survive? Their kids are fortunately over here in America. But he said, and I wrote it down, that kind of trial and everything that they're going through reveals, quote, the real us. Unquote.
Correct. And that's James's point.
That's James's
later
point.
On, he's going to use Abraham, right? And Abraham was tested in Genesis 22 and in Hebrews 12. Abraham was tested. And the reason God tested Abraham was not because God was angry or because Abraham had done something wrong or God was curious and he didn't know what was in Abraham's heart. He wanted to reveal to the whole world Abraham's true faith. And that's why, and you just said it a different way with these Ukrainian brothers whose faith is being revealed in a precious, full-hearted way. Oh, yeah. They have a single focus, wholehearted, fully trusting faith, and is coming out under pressure. Well, in James, one of the greatest tests that tries our faith to see whether or not it's wholehearted, single-focused, fully trusting, is what we do when we're in the presence of wealth or poverty.
Yeah, man.
I mean, think about that. You know, we typically think, oh, it's cancer. That's going to be the real test. Or, oh, it's, you know, what's going to happen when my neighbor gets upset or when I lose my promotion at work because I can't support the LGBTQ agenda that's coming down, or I have to live out my faith. And those are excruciating trials. I'm not minimizing any of that.
Amen.
But the trial that James brings up is wealth and poverty. What are you going to do? I never could figure out why in the midst of this whole passage on trials and temptations, right in the middle are these two verses about rich people and poor people. And then one day just like a light went off. It's like, oh, as a member of the Big K kingdom, who are the people God usually chooses for that kingdom? Paul said, not many rich, not many noble. It is the poor. It is the unknown. It is the people who are the offscouring.
Yeah.
Most of the members of the churches in the first century were poor, and many of them were slaves.
Yep.
And so think about this. You're a slave in your church, and all of a sudden you become a deacon, or you get appointed by your church to be a pastor, and in comes a wealthy man who now has to sit under the authority of a slave.
Yes.
Those kingdom values are completely upside down.
Yeah, completely upside down. And I can tell you from personal experience, I struggle with how I treat my big donors versus my small donors. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, another Theology Thursday with our friends at Bob Jones Seminary down in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, back with Dr. Sam Horn, who's the lead pastor at Palmetto Baptist down there in that beautiful neck of the woods, but also teaches regularly at the university as well as the seminary, walking through James and the part that we all know early on in chapter 1. Then he gets to this part, and this is where we're going to spend the rest of the show. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation and the rich in his humiliation. Now you sit there and go, hold on a second. If I want to be exalted, if I want to feel special, I'm not going to really get there by being poor. I need to be rich. So why would a rich person feel any level of humiliation? Well, I don't understand that. A poor person should be lowly, humiliated, not exalted. So this all of a sudden seems a little upside down, a little backwards, a little topsy-turvy. So we're going to work through this with Dr. Sam Horn today as we finish up the second half of the show. But let's start where I think most of us are, Sam, is that if you lack material wealth, if you are worried about gas prices, if you are worried about now 7.9% inflation, that this year you're going to spend on average $3,500 more than you did last year, and that's real money to you, that causes a real sacrifice, tough decisions. There's some challenges in being not on the upper end of the income scale, Sam, from a faith perspective, from a kingdom perspective. But what are they?
So when you come to James verses 9 and 10, this is kind of where we're at, right? 9, 10, 11. You're in the context of big kingdom church, right? So you're scattered. You're in all the little kingdoms, and you got a church. And inside that church are two kinds of people. The lowly brother and the rich. They're both Christians. Later, James is going to describe some wealthy people that aren't in chapter 5, right? At the end of right at the beginning of chapter 5, you're going to meet some wealthy people that are abusing the church.
Yeah.
But here, you have two brothers who are Christians, and they go to the same church. One is wealthy and one isn't. And the way Paul talks, or James talks about this rather, is lowly and wealthy, rich. All right, so they're both Christians. I think that's really important for us to think about. And he says to both of them, now let the lowly brother rejoice in something. Let the lowly brother rejoice in his exaltation. You just had like a complete kingdom reversal.
Yeah.
In the kingdoms of the world, the lowly brother is the one that everybody despises. In this kingdom, the lowly brother is the one God chooses. Remember what Jesus said when he introduced the kingdom in Matthew chapter 5? Blessed are the poor in spirit.
Right.
right? And he's not just talking about their physical poverty, although many, many people in the early church, the early churches in most of these cities were filled up with poor people.
Yeah.
Paul talked about not many rich, not many mighty, not many noble are chosen, and God chooses the humble, right? And so the idea here is there is this humble person who has come to Christ, God has chosen them, and that person has been highly esteemed, highly exalted in God's sight. And it's all in this little word boast. We typically think of the word boast, and it's a bad word in our,
right,
in
right,
our language.
Prideful.
Like don't boast.
Yep.
But the word boast here is the word for having confidence in. Mm. It's the idea of, I will not boast in anything but Jesus Christ and him crucified. I'm not going to have confidence in anything. I'm not going to put my joy in anything except X, Y, or Z. And so when you're a lowly person and you have no money, what will give you confidence? Mm-hmm. And for many, many people, it's if I had more money, I would have more security. The idea
right.
there is, where's your security?
Right, exactly.
Where's your joy? And so I'm looking at $3,500, and like you said, whether I'm in the top 5% economic wealthy of the world, mm-hmm. that's still $3,500 I don't have.
Right.
And if I just could wake up tomorrow and somebody put $3,500 in my bank account,
boom.
Or even better, if somebody put $10,000 in my bank account just for cushion, I would be so happy. I would be so content. I would stop worrying. I wouldn't fret. I wouldn't right. be like all anxious.
Right.
And Jesus said, remember in Matthew 6, be anxious
for nothing.
Don't worry about what you're going to eat.
Yeah.
Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about those things, because you have a heavenly Father who gives good gifts. Later on in chapter 1, this heavenly Father is going to be described as the Father of light who always gives good gifts. And so here's a lowly brother, and James is saying to him, you are in an envious position. You of all people.
That's so counterintuitive.
It's so countercultural. It's big kingdom values,
yeah, yeah.
right? And then he says to the rich brother who has all this
Well,
money,
hold on a second. Let me just add this, because I'm such a political animal sometimes. And the social justice will go against that.
Correct.
Saying, no, we got to eliminate that. I mean, I just pulled up the New Living Translation. Believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them. You're sitting there going, what? Real quickly, the first time I went to Kenya, where everybody where we were was unbelievably poor. Then I come back to America, and that really it totally messed up my compass. So I come back, and I remember saying this in the pulpit the next day when I was asked to share. And I said, you know what? Here's what I noticed. This is weird. In Kenya, where they have next to nothing, God can be almost everything.
Absolutely.
But in America, where I have just about everything, I can relegate God to be next to nothing.
And if you go back year after year and you meet that person who has nothing, they're just as happy the second, third, fifth, right. tenth year. And you're like, how are you doing this?
And I did meet
you
them.
Have zero.
Yeah,
you have
I did
zero.
Go back.
And their answer is, we have God.
Right.
He's exalted us, right? So this is the whole idea. Now, let me just be real clear. That doesn't mean as Christians we should not engage in the plight of the poor.
Amen. Yep.
I mean, we should. James is going to say later, if you say to a brother, hey, be warmed and filled, be happy that you're exalted, and you don't feed him,
right.
and you don't clothe him,
hey,
then your
you.
Religion is worthless.
Exactly.
Right? He's
yes.
going to be real clear about that.
Yep.
But he's making a different point here in chapter 1, and that is this: where's your confidence? And as we head into trial territory, particularly the devastation that's coming our way because of the politics of this nation, the pinch that everybody's going to feel, the things that are going to happen, particularly economically,
yeah.
As your 401k becomes a 201k or
sure
whatever,
is.
However you want to describe those
right.
things, James says, where's your confidence? It never was in those things. Your confidence was never in your bank account. You should take care of your bank account. You should be responsible, but that's not your joy. That's not your confidence.
Yeah, the fewer numbers you have in your net worth, the easier it is to get closer to God. That's what this kind of keeps rolling through my
yeah.
head. Because the and more
God,
you have.
God didn't change your status
right.
when your economy dropped.
That's right.
right. All of a sudden, you didn't become like second-class sons and daughters
right.
because your bank account went down. Actually, you have just the same exalted status
yeah.
that you had before. And so James is saying, as a member of the big kingdom, the difference between you and all the other people in the little kingdoms is what happens when you find yourself without wealth.
Well, let me ask this question then. Well, I guess I'm not asking you for permission to asking. I'm just asking.
Ask it.
What about we? I think we have a problem with victim mentality.
Yeah,
I'm a victim. So, oh, woe is me. I got hosed, and I didn't win God's lottery. So I'm just going to feel sorry for myself. I'm a victim.
And so that's what I'm saying. That's a little kingdom value. Mm. Now there are certain victims. I'm not denying victimhood,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
But the whole idea of there's this class of people that were victimized and Christians are supposed to solve that, that's a little kingdom problem that Jesus never solved. He went to the individual victims and he ministered the grace of the gospel to them.
Yeah.
And he helped them to see the beauty of the gospel that exalted them the way he's talking here in James 1 through James. James says, look, it doesn't matter what happened to you out there. And it doesn't matter who does what to you in that little kingdom. You're a member of a big kingdom. And in this kingdom, you have a highly exalted status.
Amen.
The problem is I can't see it physically.
Right.
And I'm not going to enjoy it right now. I have to wait till Jesus comes and brings that kingdom with him. But in the meantime, for these little short 70 years, I've got to be willing to endure the trial. And the endurance of the trial is what's going to beautify my faith so that everybody around can say, now, what's wrong with that poor brother over there? How's he so happy? Is he dumb happy? Does he not know he's broke? Does he not know that the gas prices just went up?
Yeah.
Does he not know that he doesn't have insurance anymore? Does he not know that, and of course you know these things. So why are you happy? How can you be? Well, my confidence was never in those things.
That's right.
My confidence was always in the Lord.
Boy, that makes you free, doesn't it?
Well, that's the point.
Mm-hmm.
Let the lowly brother rejoice.
Yeah. Amen.
And so what happens to me, and I'm preaching to myself here, Steve. I'm not preaching to your radio audience. I'm putting myself in the saddle. When I just took a road trip to Florida, and I'm paying at the pump, and I am not happy.
Yeah.
I listened to the news. I was listening to the news the other night, and I'm hearing all the who's at fault for the gas price hike, and it's Ukraine, it's Russia. Well, actually, it's not. There are other closer to home reasons that I'm not going to get into here. But the bottom line is, you start getting angry. It's like, and where's your confidence?
Right,
it is in
right.
the government. If the government could just figure out how to get more gas that's ours, it's on our own land. If we could just figure out, then maybe things would get better. Where's my confidence?
That's right, exactly right. And that's a tough battle to fight sometimes. Now, what if you have a little bit more than that? What if the gas prices really aren't an issue to you? Well, that's going to be a challenge as well. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday with our friends at Bob Jones Seminary. And by the way, what we're talking about today, we kind of use this in the background on the Seminary Viewpoints page that the seminary puts together, which is awesome. Approaching Wealth and Poverty, the True Test of Faith. We have a special page that's set up there. So if you go to seminary.bju.edu/radio, you're going to land on a page, and I'll put this link on Facebook Live. You're going to land on a page that has all the different blog posts and all the different topics and all the different resources that we use every Thursday. It's all going to be sitting there right in front of you. It's all on that page. Okay, so I'm putting the link up right now so you can access all this stuff, because even though we're flying through a lot of things right now in the show over the course of an hour, you can chew through this stuff at your own speed. That's why you need to go to the website and grab a hold of these things. And then you can work through it yourself and maybe have a conversation with a friend or just between you and the Lord. So it's got all the every week we've got this listed up on the page. Okay, so just go to seminary.bju.edu/radio. But I put it on Facebook right now in the Facebook Live broadcast, so you can do that. And so as we're talking about, we're going to switch gears now. We are talking about, for those of us, which is most of us, that don't have a whole lot. Some of you do. I'm the Noble family somewhere in between. So if you have wealth, and oftentimes, Sam, I'm like, you know what? You know what justice looks like? Justice looks like we need to reduce the wealth of the wealthy. That's justice. And so part of the social justice movement is that. It's born out of covetousness. It's born out of resentment. And so we have to make everybody pay their fair share. And we need to punish people because they're wealthy. So we think small K kingdom, and we often go after that. That's sometimes the motivation of the social justice movement. But for us as Christians, if you have wealth, there's some unique trials and tests there. And by wealth, what do we even mean by that? Like, we're living in America. This is, quote unquote, a wealthy nation. When we say people that have wealth, how do we define that, Sam?
Well, it depends on which kingdom you're in, right? If you're in the kingdom of the world, wealth is defined by status and possessions, right?
Right.
Money is just the symbol of that. It's the access point to status and possessions. And at the end of the day, wealth is used to procure status, security, pleasure, all of those things. Wealth in the big K kingdom of God is very different, right? Wealth in the big K kingdom of God is somebody being rich in faith. Mm. That's the wealthy man. Not being rich in this world's goods, but being rich in faith. And so let me take you to a story, because remember, in these two verses we're talking about, 9, 10 and 11, these two brothers, the rich brother and the poor brother, are both Christians. And the poor brother, James says, rejoice in your exaltation. And the rich brother, he has a very different instruction. He says, rejoice that you have been humbled. Mm-hmm. Now think about this. Jesus met a rich young ruler who had everything. And the rich young ruler showed up to him and he said, Master, good teacher, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? He was smart. He realized that all of his wealth was for this life only. He really wanted the life that mattered. What do I have to do to get eternal life? And Jesus said, well, what did Moses say? What do the commandments tell you? And he said, well, you know, you got to keep the commandments, you know, love God, love my neighbor. And the rich young ruler looked at Jesus and he said, all of these I have done from my youth up. And Jesus didn't challenge him on those points, right? All of these things. And then Jesus said, okay, let me help you out here. I want to expose your heart. I want to give you a test so you can see what you really worship and you can see where your dependence really is. He said, take all of your possessions and sell them and give all the proceeds of that to the poor. And then in parentheses, you will have great riches in heaven. Mm-hmm. In other words, he's not rewarding him for that. He's just saying, listen, these riches that you have here aren't the riches. When you follow me, you're going to have massive riches in heaven. Yeah. So you don't have to worry about the riches piece. You know, so take what you have, sell it, give it to the poor. You have great riches in heaven, and follow me. You have to become my disciple.
Yeah.
And the rich young ruler, you remember the story, he walks away.
Sad.
Grieved because he had many possessions. Mm-hmm. And Jesus looked with grief in his heart, and he said to his disciples, it's harder for a rich man to go through, it's harder for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven. And his disciples had a question for him. If that man can't get in,
then who can? Right.
And God said this. Here's what Jesus said. With God, everything is possible.
Yeah, beautiful.
And here's the point. If you're a rich man, the temptation of your wealth is so great that it takes an act of God to humble you. Mm-hmm. And if you're a rich brother that is truly a Christian, you are most, most happy that God has humbled you.
Yeah.
Because you have true riches in heaven. Because here's what's happening to your riches on earth. He says to this, because like the flower of the grass, it passes away. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flowers fall and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. In other words, you're living the same kind of falling away life that the rich brother is, and your wealth is also falling away. It's not producing for you what you're hoping it will produce. The real point of joy for the rich brother is that God has humbled him.
Yeah, yeah. It just made me think of, I was going to use Elon Musk, but Elon Musk comes across to me as pretty humble. Jeff Bezos does not. Jeff Bezos is very prideful. That's the guy that started Amazon. And so if Jeff Bezos all of a sudden realizing what a trap his wealth can be, he's the second wealthiest person on the planet, and comes before the Lord and he dies, and let's say there actually are these pearly gates, and he shows up and he's got, hey, check out my bling, man. Look at all this stuff I have. And God's like, yeah, that's not worth anything here.
That's not going to work.
Sorry.
So
versus if God had called him despite his wealth. And he's like, listen, the fact that none of this stuff matters and that you love me anyway without my wealth. Wow, that's pretty amazing.
So think about it this way. You're in the big kingdom of God and all these little kingdoms, and you're a poor brother, and you're having to trust God every single day, and you see the joy of all of this, and people in the little kingdom can't explain that. And they're going, mm-hmm. I want to know more about the God that you serve. All right, that's a lowly brother.
Right. Yep.
Now you're a rich brother, and you've been humbled, and your joy is in the fact that God humbled you, and you're part of this great kingdom, and you got all this wealth in heaven, just like the poor brother does.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with all this wealth on earth? All of a sudden, you start using that wealth on earth to make a difference for the big kingdom.
Yeah.
And people can't understand why you're giving all this money away. Why are you doing that?
What's your deal?
I mean, what is your deal? You right. have all this money. Why aren't you buying more houses? Why aren't you buying a boat? You don't have to worry about gas prices. Why are you giving so much of this money away? You ought to be holding some of that back, because honestly, this could go topsy
turvy. Yeah, you never know.
You could lose
right?
it all tomorrow.
That's right.
And the rich brother's saying, look, I'm trusting the same God that the poor brother is. Mm-hmm. I've got the same promises that the poor brother has. And all of this wealth that God put in my hands isn't mine.
Yeah, there you
it's
go.
It's God's.
That's right.
And I'm directing it toward the advancement of the gospel. Why does God give wealthy Christians wealth? And the wealthy Christian's wealth is to be used to exalt God's name, to extend God's kingdom, and to do God's will.
So if we look at these things as tests, there's a test for you if you don't have a lot. There's a test for you if you do have a lot. What's the reward for passing the test? Because I think we all like to pass the test.
Well, here's the great reward, right? Verse 12, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under the trial. Whether you're rich or poor, when you pass the test, when you pass the test, you will receive the crown of life,
amen.
Which God promises to those who love him. So here's the point. What you do with your money and what you do with your poverty reveals whether or not you love God. And if you love God more than you love your money, and you love God in spite of your poverty, you get at the end the one thing the wow. rest of the world wants, and it's eternal life.
Yeah.
That's what you get. And with that eternal life comes all the pleasures and all the wealth that is at the right hand of the Father, mm. right? So a great test for us is if we have poverty, what's our spirit? We run to God. If we have wealth, we run to God and say, God, what do you want me to do with yeah. this wealth? That's really hard in this economy. If you have a lot, what do I do with that? You know, a good question might be go to your pastor, say, Pastor, who are the people in our church that are desperately needing help?
Yeah.
I know there are people who need gas. I know there are people who are trying to pay hospital bills. I know people are trying to buy food. I have wealth. I'd like to make a donation to the church anonymously. I'd like to put some of my wealth in your hands so that you can take care of the legitimate needs of the people in our church.
Yeah, it's good.
Why are you doing that? Because I love God and yeah. I love my brother.
It's good. I just had this vision while you were explaining that. When you were talking about they're both running to God. If you don't have a lot, you can stay in your house and you complain and you can moan and groan, or you can run to God. If you're rich, you can stay in your mansion and exult in that and be proud of yourself
exactly.
and not run to God. But the picture you just painted, Sam, is these two guys are running to the throne and they bump into each other. And they're like, oh, sorry, man. Oh, sorry, man. And you look at it and the one guy's like totally dressed to the nines. And the other yep. guy smells like dung. And they're both running to the same place, and they're both brothers, and they're both doing it right. I'm not hanging out in my mansion, patting myself on the back, and I'm not sitting in my my box just feeling sorry for myself. We both run to God.
And the poor brother looks at the wealthy brother and goes, I sure love you. And the wealthy brother goes, I'm so glad you're my brother. Hey, by the way, I've got some extra I could help you out with.
How about that? That sounds a little bit like heaven on earth.
And the world scratching its head going, where did you learn that? And the answer is, we're not part of this little
right,
kingdom.
Right.
We're part of this massive
Amen.
Kingdom. And we want you to come be a Amen. Part of that kingdom too.
Yeah. And why do you hang out with a rich person? And the rich person's friends are saying, why do you hang out with a poor person? That's the little
kingdom. That's because we're in the same kingdom.
That's right. We're in the same kingdom. We're brothers and part of the same kingdom. And by the way, hint, hint, everybody, we're actually both fabulously wealthy. So you'll see
Absolutely.
That will show up later on in life. Dr. Sam Horn, God bless you, brother. It's always great to
Thank
have you.
You
on. It's such a good conversation. I appreciate yeah. you. Hold on right there. We'll pray after the show is over. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.